Amen. Thank you for that wonderful singing, for all the singing this morning. So heavenly, so real. Brother Lee was one of my spiritual heroes. Just love to be around him. Pastor, mentor, a great man of God, missionary, you name it, Brother Lee was that. For the Lord, and that's the kind of people we need to hang around, be around, and good offspring, wonderful children of God that serves God and loves God. And we're so blessed to have him here with us this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Kings. That will be 1 Kings this morning for a few minutes. Last song told about leaving this world. We're in this world, not all this world, but we're in this world. And the Bible says we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. But while we're passing through, we look around, we see the world going pretty much the way Satan wants it to. He is the prince of the power of the air, but yet God has some people. God has some men of God, and God has some people of God that want to serve him in this day and time. We read the book of Kings in particular, and we see how Israel was God's nation, he had called them, but the people. Seems like since Adam and Eve sinned, and their offspring sinned, and Eve is the mother of all living, so we've all sinned. Christ Jesus came to forgive sin, but yet we see in that particular time David was a man after God's own heart, but yet he sinned. God forgave him. Then after he went on to heaven, remember God called his son Solomon to be that great king, rebuild the wonderful nation of Israel in power and strength. Then he turned his heart away from God after the world. And when a nation does that, through the king, through anyone, God brings judgment. The judgment God brought at that particular time, he said, I'm going to divide the kingdom. And we're going to see the man of God is the focus here. We're going to see two men of God that's going to be the focus point. Jeroboam, the one that had the northern 10 tribes and he was the king, he wasn't the focal point because he was evil in the sight of the Lord. Rehoboam, the one that was over the 2 tribes, the southern tribes, he wasn't the focal point. Even in the evil world that God had brought judgment upon, God's servants are the focal point. It still is today. The Lord is looking down, and if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. God's looking for a people, for a person to serve him. In spite of all the weakness of the world, in spite of all the things that's going on in the world. So let's read the account here. We're going to see Jeroboam now is the king in chapter 14 of the book of 1 Kings. Jeroboam is the king. Trouble has come to his house. And God sees to it that when men reign and men do not take the position God has put them in perspective and in reverence, then God will bring judgment. He's the king of all the earth. All powers are ordained of him. It was God that ordained and put Jeroboam in this position. Remember a little bit earlier back in chapter 11 of 1 Kings how it happened. Because Solomon had sinned and Israel was following, worshiping all these other gods. God says, I'm going to divide the kingdom. He had a man of God, Ahijah was his name, and God orchestrates the paths, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So now Jeroboam had been appointed to a special task by the king, and yet he wanted to reign and he wanted to have more than was given him. And God arranged a meeting just out in the field one day by happenstance, no, by direct intervention of God. Jeroboam was out there and the man of God shows up. Ahijah was his name. And the Bible says, that Jeroboam had a new suit of clothes on. And the man of God goes and takes off one of those garments and rips it. Can you imagine Jeroboam? Probably never met this man of God before, but you got to be careful when the man of God's around. He's anointing of God. He rents this garment into 12 pieces. And I'm sure Jerry Boehm is wondering just what's going on. And so the man of God reaches 10 of those garments back to him and says, those represent the 10 tribes of northern Israel. God is going to select you. You're going to be the king of those northern tribes. And I'm sure he was very astounded at this, but the man of God, Ahijah, had spoken through God, of course. And a little bit later on, just as it came to pass, what was proclaimed, he was a king, and God made him king over the northern 10 tribes. Now, if that had been most people, they would have been appreciative of that fact. God, thank you. You trusted me, and I'm going to serve you. That's not what he did, because people pretty much followed their heart. David was a man of God's, had a heart of God's choosing. And when David sinned, his heart smote him, and he got forgiveness of that sin, not Jeroboam. Jeroboam now wants to, he's got jealousy in his heart. He starts saying that, hey, the two southern tribes, that's Jerusalem, that's God's holy city. That's where God has got solemn days, feast days, and all the people supposed to go to Jerusalem for the worship. Hey, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship him only. But the world don't like that. They make other gods, and they try to tear away from the what thus saith the word of God. And now Jeroboam is making altars in Bethel. He's worshiping golden calves instead of the Lord God. He's appointing priests and selecting his own preachers rather than letting God do it. He's turning Israel back away from the Lord God. Well, God knows exactly what's going on. And the reason Jeroboam is doing that is jealousy, because he's afraid that the people of the 10 northern tribes, if they worship God and go back to Jerusalem, then they will start adhering to Rehoboam, who is the king over there. So he's jealous, doing everything in his power. But yet a man of God, a young man of God, shows up at the altar one day where he's burning the incense and where he's making sacrifices to golden calves. And the man of God cries against the altar. Jeroboam gets awful upset and goes to the man of God and starts to kill him. You touch a man of God and you're in serious trouble. And the hand upon which was upon the man of God started withering and drying up. And he couldn't move it. And the man of God pleads to God to restore his health. Now, you would think that Jeroboam at this particular time has said, God, you restored my health. I know that you're not pleased with me. I'll repent. Not what he done. Because he started turning people's hearts away from God longer and longer. Well, the question before us this morning, where's God? He's on his throne. The most foolish question I've ever heard anybody ask or even think, where was God when this happened to me? Where was God? He's on his throne. He's always occupied his throne. God permits. He orchestrates. And God now brings something to pass in chapter 14 of the book of 1 Kings. Because he's got another man of God. That man of God, Ahijah, that has told him that you're going to have the northern two tribes, he's gotten old. He can't see anymore. But God can still use him. The title of the message this morning, the eyes of worship, the eyes of worship in their heart permits us to see. And we're going to look at this thought this morning, that God's word is their eyes. His direct word, his spoken word, his written word should be our eyes of faith. We're going to see this in chapter 14. And let's start reading in the first verse. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. Now, the king is Adonijah, and this is Abijah, his son, young son. We don't know how old he is, but he fell sick. God's judgment. Sometimes God judges a household, a nation, through children. God, remember, can do anything he chooses to do. So let's look at that thought this morning, and we were going to see that the God's judgment is upon Israel, and he's upon the king. He's going to bring judgment on the king. Give him another opportunity. Isn't it the mercy of God that gives people opportunities to repent. The withered hand restored didn't cause them to repent. The Word of God preached and proclaimed that you're doing wrong by worshiping golden calves and by issuing all these priests that's not ordained of God. That didn't cause them to repent. Well, maybe, in God's mercy, of course, God knows whether he will or not, be it, God gives them another opportunity to repent. And God allows his son to fall sick. And in this sickness, this King Jeroboam starts appeasing. He starts telling his wife, I remember this man of God told me, he met me in the field, he ripped my clothes off, he tore them in 12 pieces, gave me 10, and said I would be the king of the 10 northern tribes, and that came to pass. Must have been a man of God. And my son now is sick. I want you to disguise yourself. I want you to go present yourself to him, because if you go as a king's wife, he won't have anything to do with you because of my sins. I haven't repented, and you haven't repented, but we're going to kindly disguise ourselves, and we're going to let him think that we're just ordinary people. And this man of God has direct course of action. He has direct access to the King of Glory. I know that. I'm not going to serve him. You're not going to serve him. Our young son won't be taught to serve him, but yet we're going to disguise ourselves. It doesn't work. It never does. See, the world and people today are trying to go different routes, and they don't want to follow God. They don't want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man of God, what more can he do? You say, well, he's already spent his younger days. He's out proclaiming. He's out serving God, and now he's home, stricken in age. He can't see. Now the king's going to take advantage of him, so we think. But let's read the text together. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me, that thou should be king over this people, and take with thee 10 loaves and cracklings and a cruse of honey, and go to him, he shall tell thee what shall become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Adijah. Adijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. Oh, he couldn't see with his eyes. He could see better than that. He could see by the word of God, and he could hear what thus saith the word of God to him. And the Lord said to Adijah, Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask the thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, For it shall be, when she cometh, that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so, that Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feigneth thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Forasmuch as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that which only which was right in mine eyes, but hath done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee, O other gods, and molded images, to provoke me to anger, and hath cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. And that, he says, Not only have I brought evil, and thy son shall die. You know when he's going to die? Later you go back home to your husband. And as soon as you set your feet in the city limits, your son's going to die. Can you imagine that long journey back home as she was going? She hears the man of God. She believes the man of God. She knows he prophesied right one time. And he has thus spoken what thus saith the Lord. She loves her son. Of course, Jeroboam, the evil man he was, he still loved his son. He doesn't know what's going on yet. Maybe he suspects it. Does he really believe that he can have a disguise for his wife and fool God? And I believe that's what's happening to people today. Somehow they try to disguise their sin, to pretend they're not there so they can appease God. Remember, he took all these different, he took honey and he took loaves, trying to appease God. But you don't appease God unless you ask forgiveness of your sin. Jeroboam wasn't about to do that. His wife wasn't about to do that. And now the heavy tidings had come to her as she's walking back to her home to tell her husband Jeroboam. But before she gets there, her feet stepped inside the city limits. Wherever God puts a line, that's where the line stays. And nobody can move that line. God says our heart should be tender, should be mellow toward Him. God has limits how far He will let each one of us go. And now Jeroboam had been called by God. He had been appointed and given that kingdom. He wouldn't repent. He refused to repent. And trying to appease God will never work. Now she's taking that long journey home. She could not hear the voice of her son. She was not there to see him take his last breath. But just as the man of God had proclaimed, when her feet reached over one step beyond the limit, the son died. Now she goes home with a heavy heart. No doubt Jeroboam was asking questions. Didn't he receive the gifts? Oh, I took them all right, but he wasn't too interested in that. Seemed like the only thing he was interested in, what thus saith the Lord to him. God has spoken, Jeroboam said, well, it came to pass. I don't know where you were, but I do know this. Our son died. And not only that son died, that God said, I'm going to destroy your whole kingdom. No son of yours will ever survive. Now, God permitted Jeroboam to be king 22 years. Can you imagine living in a country where 22 years you have a king that's serving other gods, building golden calves and worshiping them? Well, I'm quite much older than that, and it seems like most of my life, the great land that I live in and you live in, we try to disguise ourselves. We try to deny as a nation, one nation under God. But see, God sees the intents of her heart. He knows and knows that the people, for the most part, don't worship the Lord God. And yet God permits it to go on. But remember three things. It's helped me all, in every situation. These three thoughts have helped me probably as much as anything. God's done right. God's doing right, and God will do right. If He permits wicked kings and wicked people to reign over us, it's the fact that what the first point is, God's judgment. God judges upon a nation. Our nation has sinned. Our nation is sin, and we are under direct judgment of God. And we still have people, though we may not see as we used to see. We can see through the Word of God and through the faith that God has given us that He is in control. Nothing goes on but what He permits. And if we're under the judgment of God, we can still proclaim the good news that Jesus saved, Jesus saved. Will everyone hear? No, that's not my responsibility nor yours. But my responsibility is to do as the man of God does. The young preacher that went to the altar and says, you're doing wrong. You're worshiping golden calves. You're burning sacrifices over here in Bethel. You got to do it at Jerusalem. And even though the hand reached out to snuff him and to kill him, and then after Jeroboam's hand was restored, he said, come home with me. And you know what the young, now here is a young preacher boy. We don't even know his name. A young preacher boy that was sent by God to proclaim, thus saith the word of God. and the king of the 10 northern tribes, as rich as he was, come home with me, and I'll give you this, and I'll give you that. You know what the young boy said to him? If you give me half your kingdom, I will not go home with you and partake of what you have partaken of. And he went another way. And that's what you and I need to do today. We don't partake of the things of the world. We go the way God expects us to go. God expects you and I to be what he called us to be, to do what he called us to do. And now Jeroboam has died. 22 years he has been the king. But he's got another son. Remember, one son died, but he had another son. And this other son goes to the king. But the word of God's already said, it's not going to work. It's not going to last. And after 6 months, he was conspired against and he was killed. And the person and the regime that killed him destroyed all Jeroboam's house. If God speaks in his word and the man of God decrees in his word, then that's going to come to pass. And God's already told us, the songs we heard this morning, we're passing through this world, but we're looking to a place called heaven. And as we're passing through, we do as Ahijah did. We proclaim what thus saith the word of God. Will they listen? Maybe not. But you see, God's in charge of all that. And I've always learned, I never have tried to take, and God forbid me to ever take responsibility that he hasn't given me. I don't have a responsibility to do anything but proclaim what thus saith the word of God. God wakes me up in the middle of the night. You ask the question, why did God give you this message? I don't know. Do I need to know? I only know God wakes me up in the middle of the night and goes and says, open up the Bible. I want to show you something. I open up the Bible and my eyes focus upon, it's just like it jumps out at me. God says, this is for Sunday morning. This is for a particular time. See, I made myself, I don't see good anymore with my eyes. I've got problems in both eyes. That's okay. Even if I were to go blind, I can still see through the eyes of faith. And God still speaks to my heart. You know, the most important thing in the world, I said the focus of the message this morning is on God's servant. God's servant that hears and is bold enough to go speak what thus saith the word of God. Regardless of what people say or think, or it doesn't matter. If God speaks and I hear his voice, and he speaks in my heart, and I see what he wants from me, if I do it. And the thought to me is, the most precious thing in the world today is not just living, and not just having the welfare, the well-being and all the possessions we have today as America. The most important thing to me is to hear the voice of God. That God of heaven knows me, called me, expects me to be obedient to his voice. And through the eyes of faith and through the eyes that God has given me to listen and to see, that's the most important thing to me. Oh, it'd be great. John says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. As a pastor, no greater thing than to see people living right, doing right, proclaiming right. And my preaching, that's all I can do. God will have to do the rest. Adonijah realized and knew that in his older years, he couldn't go out and proclaim anymore. But one thing he could do is hear God. And when all the evil reports came to him, he could say, that's what the Lord has told me to say. The focus is on God is in control. We may not look so good as Americans anymore. Go to foreign land and you're hated. Hey, if you go to large cities in America and proclaim Jesus, you're hated even more. That doesn't matter. We belong to him. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. Miss Brenda, would you come to the piano, Brother Ray, to the organ, play what God have you to play? But the question to you is this. We can't go into the world and straighten it out. God's in control. If we're under his judgment, he still can use you. He still can use me. There was a massive revival in Israel after Adonijah proclaim what thus saith the word of God. There was mourning. The Bible says when it was told that the king's son died, great mourning in the land. God didn't have anything at all against the young boy. In fact, the young boy, I don't know how old he was. Perhaps he was too young to have the age of accountability. Hopefully he went to heaven. But see, God loves you. He loves me. Your head's bound. Through the eyes of faith, through the Word of God, don't look at the world and how evil it is. It'll just make you mad and bitter. But look through the eyes of faith at what God wants you to do. How do I know what He wants me to do? It begins when you start reading the Word of God. And then when you want to understand it, He speaks to you. Audibly, maybe you, He doesn't to me. He speaks in my heart. It's much clearer than if you spoke audibly. And then we live a life pleasing. God's looking at us. The world's looking at every one of us to see how we live, where we go, how we dress, what we listen to. And this man, Ahijah, had a reputation that if I speak it, God told me to speak it, and it will come to pass. That reputation is good enough to have an evil king send his wife to the house and said, I don't know what's going to happen to my sick son, but he does. How does he know? Because he has access to God. Wouldn't it be good if your neighbor, your friend, your acquaintance at work knew that you as an individual had access to God through the eyes of faith, that God would speak to your heart and you could get a prayer through? Most important thing in the world. Opportunities this morning. It's Thanksgiving coming up in the Christmas season for us to be what God wants us to be. The focal point on the message this morning is on the men of God, not on Jeroboam and his great evil kingdom, not even the southern kingdom, which is also going astray. It's not on America or the world today. It's on the people that are saved and redeemed and will hear God's voice and proclaim what thus saith the Word of God. He brings all the results. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we have You and Your precious Word. Lord, as a nation we sin, forgive us. And we say, how long, O Lord, will You allow evil? And will You allow a nation to keep progressing deeper and deeper in sin? Lord, that's up to You. Your judgment is swift. Your judgment, Lord Jesus, is so important. And we've got to know that You're in control. And help us, Father. Man tries to rationalize, jeopardize, tear down everything that You're doing. Lord, You still have Your people. They have a voice because it's not their voice, it's Yours. Thank You for speaking, Father. Thank You for letting us hear and know what thus saith the Word of God. Be with our nation. Forgive our sins. Be with our church. With all the churches that proclaim Jesus. For those that don't, Father, I pray that You'll help them. Help them, Father, to be in these last days what You expect us to be. We love You, Jesus. Amen.